Are listening to Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Ian McNally, Julian Yap, Bahe Yusuf. And it is actually another installment of Watch Now, brought to you by Astro, where we just take a quick look at what's available on demand on Astro at the moment that you can kind of pop in and watch if it catches your fancy. We have three films, but we're going to be starting with the most recent one, which was, of course, A Quiet Place, which I think we've all seen. And it was, I mean, it's so good. Actually, if you haven't seen it, I'm kind of envious, because then you get to experience it again for the first time.
But if you are going to watch it on demand, turn off the lights, tell everyone to stop bothering you, put the phone down, and do not like have people wandering around the house. This is a movie that demands your attention. Oh, also turn the volume all the way up.
Well, I wouldn't say all the way up. There are a couple of loud bits toward the end. But no, you're right.
They'll get you more.
It's a great... great movie. The title is completely appropriate. Is this a horror movie? Is this suspense?
Because I feel like
really
a horror,
enjoyed
huh?
it, so can't be horror.
Is it like a sci-fi thriller?
Yes, I think that's exactly.
Yeah,
what it is.
I think it's close. It's a high concept sci-fi thriller.
Yes.
Because if you haven't seen or heard of A Quiet Place, it's a family surviving in a post-apocalyptic world, which is populated by blind alien things that have exceptionally good hearing, and so they've kind of devised a way to live without sound. However, Mama's pregnant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much the setup.
And like most good thrillers and stuff, it's not the monsters that matter, it's how we react to them, and it's, you know, metaphors and stuff.
I think the metaphors are not important. I think it's a great movie. I totally watch it again, even if I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I mean, it's not that you never find out where the monsters come from. The monsters aren't the point. You know, as opposed to like slasher films or something like that, or a Monster Mash movie, which is like, oh, it's Jason or it's Freddy or something.
Yeah, you definitely don't need to know. You just need to know how they're going to fight them, how they
survive.
How they
survive. Survive is the better
way. How they just live their life, you know, integrating actors who are deaf or hard of hearing and actually using sign language. It's a beautiful film just from watching the family dynamic, and then the stuff happens.
Yeah, and also to think John Krasinski's directorial debut.
Yes.
What the Wild. Actual what? I think he was nominated, right?
I don't think
he was. For your first time.
They don't give it to you for the first time, right? It's a great film, I think. Regardless of where you stand, I mean, if you like anything of the sort of creepy nature, you'll be fine. This isn't a horror.
It's tense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tense.
I think honestly, if you like good films, you'll like this. Sure. It's just good a well point. Put together film. Also, just lastly, Emily Blunt is so great.
She's perfect in this.
Emily Blunt is unbelievably great. Yeah. I mean, there is this entire sequence in the middle of the film where something is, where the family is split up and something is happening, and she just delivers that to the point where I think my fingernails are going to go through my palms. I was so tense, and it was just really beautiful. So yeah, A Quiet Place, which again you can watch on demand, as you can for our next film as well, which is Steven Spielberg's Ready Player One.
In 2045, reality is a bummer. But we could go somewhere without going anywhere at all. The Oasis. But the Oasis is in trouble.
It's a war for control of the future.
This is actual life and death stuff.
Go, go, go!
Are you willing to fight?
Nerd Christmas.
Essentially. I prefer the book.
Which is weird, because I thought the book, it is odd, because the book definitely is Nerd Christmas.
Yes.
It's like reference Hallelujah, Valhalla. But the movie, I think, repairs a lot of the problems that came out after you read the book and after you think about it a while. There's a lot of problems with that book.
Really? Missed that.
Have you seen any of the paragraphs that are taken like out of context?
Yeah, because you take anything.
You can take anything out of context, but just when they're lovingly describing all these pop culture references, it does get a bit much. So whereas on screen, you just see Voltron. Mm. Or not Voltron, you see a Gundam, or you see the Iron Giant. It's like, that's cool. You don't need to hear a nerd bore you to tears with it over and over again in six paragraphs, which I think made it better. And also the story was kind of rejigged a little bit to make it a bit more of a kid's adventure movie, as opposed to... There's a lot of death in the book.
The book is a bit more adult and serious-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't read the book. I just know it. Yeah, I just know it from, well, this is the one with all the references, sure. And I was not excited watching this. I didn't like the trailer. But when I watched it, it was begrudgingly as well. I thought, okay, I'll just sit through this. But same. I just was brought along for the ride. I thought it was fun. I thought the little references were well done. I thought they were little, like, cheeky little things that you know. And it's a great... Well, I guess it's a Steven Spielberg film.
It's a Steven Spielberg film, yeah.
I had almost the exact same experience, but I didn't really know what it was going to be going into it. I wasn't excited for it in the sense that I hadn't anticipated it for ages or anything like that. But I enjoyed it for what it was, which was like a roller coaster ride of a film. You just kind of keep going and going and going and going.
Oh, no, it is a roller coaster. It feels like it feels like a Disney roller coaster where it's just sort of from start to end. You just go through this thing.
I would happily rewatch this film as like a lazy afternoon watch. I think it's perfect for that. You know, it's not necessarily kind of occasion cinema. It's not something that you gather your friends around and you have dinner and then you watch this film. It's not that kind of film, but something that you have running in the back and occasionally you look over and you're like, that was really fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of film. Yeah.
Oh, look, there's Chucky, that kind of moment. You just get these little moments just pop
up. Or you just go like, you pause at certain spots and go, oh, I didn't see that guy in the cinema. Oh, I didn't see that in the cinema. But it's the story's fine. There's no, I don't know about plot holes, but it was fine.
I wonder if the two of you feel more strongly about it because, well, I mean, you're older, which would mean, I know, I went, sorry.
It's laser targeted at our demographic. It's like, no, but, they were selling the book by having a competition, which I found after the competition ended, to like win a DeLorean from Back to the Future. So that's, you know, that's our demographic.
Yeah, I think it was right up our alley. I mean, there were quite a few other references was a little above me, I think, but no, a lot of that middle ground of Voltra, of Gundam and just Akira, of course, the Back to the Future stuff. You go like, yeah, I'm on board. I mean,
it's a film that just plays on it. It brings in all the best parts of all these pop culture references. It's just the coolest parts of everything.
It's not even the best part.
It's just
all
the
imagery of these things.
Yeah. And then like, you have like something like Akira, just like the zoom of Akira.
Yeah.
Just like the feel of everything. Yeah. And they just put that all in one film. Sure, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking today about movies that you can watch exclusively on demand. All you have to do is connect your PVR and Astro Go, and then you're good. Of course, we just also wanted to do a quick thing because, you know, big Game of Thrones fans here. If you missed our spoiler casts, you can find them. They come out Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock. And if you are catching up on Game of Thrones, you can also do it the same way. Connect your PVR and Astro Go. After this, we'll be back to discuss another movie that's available, Ocean's 13. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Hello, you are listening to Skip Intro, and this is the next installment of Watch Now brought to you by Astro. I am Lynn in the studio with me today, Julian, Ian and Bahe. We're talking about movies that are available on demand at the moment. Earlier, we talked about A Quiet Place. We spoke about Ready Player One, both of which we enjoyed. And up next, a series or a culmination of a series that Bahe specifically has mentioned every third show or so. So it seems like the right time to throw it over to you. And it's, of course, Steven Soderbergh and, you know, the cabal of superstars that are in Ocean's 13.
It's a reverse big store.
Doesn't matter if we win,
as long as casino loses.
Which means that we have to rig craps, blackjack, slots, and roulette, all in our favor.
That's can't be done.
We don't have the manpower.
The time.
Or a way in.
If any of you try to break our deal, you'll be dead.
Pay me my money!
Yes, I love this movie. I love this entire series. I know people don't like 12. I'm okay with it. I'll still watch it again. I love Oceans. I love everything about it. Anybody else want to jump in? No, that's fine. I love Oceans 13. I think 13 is going back to strength of the Oceans 11 series. I think 12, they tried to do a bit too much by like going to Europe and stuff. Mm. But 13 is back. It's back in Vegas. There's a great casino called The Bank, run by Willie Bank. Al Pacino. I can tell you the whole movie, guys. Let's go. But no, I think I like everything about it. It's back down to the core group. The wives are no longer around because it's not their fight. And I think it works out. I love it.
I enjoy the Oceans movies if I don't try to understand what's happening. And this applies.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. This applies across the board, all the way up to 8, right? Because so weirdly, we have 11, 12, 13, and then sort of separately hovering in a corner is Ocean's 8. And in all of the instances, like after Ocean's 11, I have long stopped trying to understand the actually this happened.
They might as well be wizards, like an awful lot of the time. Like what I like about this is the way that at the beginning, they don't really set out what the scheme is. They have Eddie Izzard come in and explain to him. He keeps saying, well, is the problem this thing? It's like, no, it's not that problem thing. We've got this sorted. And when they go through all the people they've paid off, the equipment they've bought, and all this other kind of stuff, it's like, it's like Mission Impossible.
Oh, for sure.
They spend more money on their heists than Mission Impossible does in like a fiscal year of like saving the world.
I think when it really hits how much money this is when they go get the other drill. The one that dug from the other side. And I
thought
love
we had
that
one. No, no, this is from the front side.
Yeah.
It's great. Love it. And when they, you know, as opposed to just like faffing about with the dice, you go to the factory in Mexico that makes the dice.
Start a
revolution there for $300 extra dollars or whatever. That's great. I love it.
And that's all, you know, that's all very, you know, you gotta, of course, that's the only way you can get by security. But in the end, they're doing that so they can have magic dice.
Yeah.
They're magic. There's no dice in the world that flip over when you turn on a lighter.
It's okay. So do we need to elaborate a little bit? So I guess with Ocean's 11 and 12, it's the same thing. It's the same gang, you know, it's always pulling heists. But in this case, there is an attempt to make it more personal, I guess. I mean, they're always a bit personal.
Yes.
In the first movie, of course, you had George Clooney and Tess and, you know, the whole Andy Garcia triangle thing happening. But in this case, you have it's revenge for a friend, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's basically what motivates it. Does that matter, though?
I think just from watching the first two, I think you have already some sort of emotional connection to them.
Yeah.
And you know how indebted they are
to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So to bring it back to this sort of in the family thing was great.
Plus Elliot Gould just wanted to spend half the movie lying in bed.
Yeah. And he got a massive paycheck for it at the end.
Yeah. Plus, like George Clooney says, you know, you shook Sinatra's hand.
That's the code.
That's the code. You know, you should know better than that, right? And I love that idea of old Vegas and respect and sure, I'm gonna attempt to steal from you and you're gonna catch me, you're gonna beat me up, but then you're not gonna give me to the cops because that's not what we do in Vegas. And it's just this idea of I'm gonna steal from you, but then you're gonna steal from me, and then I'm gonna get another guy to steal from you, and then another guy's gonna steal from you, from him, and then but then out of all that, we've already thought it all through and there's a fake nose. And
I was going to say, all that you say you love all that. I just love the fake nose. The fake nose for me was just...
The nose
when he looks like Dr. No. Drink the champagne with the fake nose, perfect.
I laugh so hard at that. But he's trying to do Dr. No cosplay by the looks of things.
Yeah.
This movie is practically a frothy rom-com.
Yeah.
It's just a rom-com sort of disguised as a heist movie because the aesthetics of it, right? I mean, of course, you've got all of Steven Soderbergh's classic touches. You've got all of the Ocean's touches with the split screens and the, you know, the certain sort of movement, the little that music, which is great. But for me, this movie kind of hits the same pleasure spots as a rom-com. Mm. You know, it's something that you can just watch and enjoy because all the people are so pretty and they're doing funny things and they like each other's company.
Yeah, they're never going to fight. There's not like a falling out, you know. How in movies there's always that middle period where there's a falling out and they have to get back together again. None of that happens.
And there's a happy ending at the end.
Always a happy ending.
And Don Cheadle's English accent is toned down.
Slightly.
Not by much.
Slightly. Compared to the first one.
Yeah.
At one point he gets to do an American accent, which is kind of funny because then it's like him doing an English accent, doing an American accent. I enjoyed that.
That worked.
Okay, so just to say, right, Bahia, you love the films, but last week we spoke about remakes, and the Ocean series kind of came up for this reason. Did you watch the original?
Yes, the original Ocean's 11?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
And what was that like?
It's not this. It's nowhere near, well, it's a little bit like this, but that was a musical, you know. Sammy Davis Jr. does a whole song. Sinatra does a song. Julian's got her mouth open.
I didn't know it was a musical.
Yeah, the original a musical. Yeah, the original is a musical with the entire Rat Pack in it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I love it. It's the heisty bits are not as dramatic. It's not as... I mean, it was the early 60s, I think it was. So it's not like they've got massive computer control vaults or anything.
It's slower paced as well, right?
It's slower paced. But it's got an Italian Job-esque ending, which I really liked.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen when they remake this again, because I think it's a when, not an if.
Yes.
But I do think that with the dying allure of movie stars with like a capital M, capital S, because that's the thing about Ocean's 11, 12, 13. You've got George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and then even the second tier of stars beyond that, pretty big.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that's going to look like coming up. I don't know if I'm ready to see, I don't know, Ezra Miller and James Franco try to pull off Ocean's 30. No, but you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
I do,
because
I do,
you need that.
Yeah.
There's a point where they have to get to a certain stature to try and pull it off. By the time, it's a catch-22, because by the time they get to that stature, it basically becomes contract negotiations, the movie.
But that was the other thing as well. The fact that Steven Soderbergh was able to get George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Don Cheadle,
Casey Affleck,
Scott Kahn.
Yeah, I was holding off on Scott Kahn, Mr. Hawaii 5-0. I don't know.
There was just, you know, it's a great lineup. I mean, Don Cheadle's going to be expensive now.
Yeah, but they're all friends with Soderbergh, right?
Because they're all So it was that thing of that just like, hey, let's do this really fun movie together. And I think they worked. It worked out. I think. I don't know if they'd ever be able to pull that again. I do like when they add members, though.
Yeah, I
do like that.
And I was quite surprised at how Ocean's 8 kind of made it certain final for certain cast members not to return, which I thought was odd. It would be strange. Nice to bring them back.
Yeah, but it's Ocean's. I don't believe a single thing
they say. It's a con.
Yeah, it's all a con.
So you can watch Ocean's 13 exclusively on demand. All you have to do is connect your PVR and Astro Go. And also, just to say again, because it is coming to an end, you guys, Game of Thrones, if you are still catching up, you can do so via the same methods and then come and listen to our spoiler cast. You have been listening today to Watch Now, brought to you by Astro BFM 89.9.